Coming up on this episode of Disneyland Weekly, things heat up at Splitsville, single riders are welcome on Space Mountain,
the Food and Wine Festival is extended, and more. Disneyland Weekly starts now.
This is Disneyland Weekly.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Disneyland Weekly, episode 11 for the week of December 13th, 2017. I'm Teg Bushman.
And I'm Teresa Urban. Thank you for joining us this week. Now let's get to the news.
Does your heart hold the magic of the holidays? Is it filled with warm memories just waiting to be discovered again? Well, now is the time to open your heart. Believe in that magic. And remember those treasured moments. Oh, they're still there. Deep within you, waiting to touch you once more. So come along as the magic of the season leads the way.
Can you remember how Christmas makes you feel?
The under-construction Splitsville Bowling Alley and Sushi Restaurant coming to Downtown Disney early next year was the site of a small fire on Saturday evening. The fire appears to have been contained to a dumpster, and there doesn't appear to be any damage to the building itself. The fire was extinguished in under 10 minutes, according to the reports online, and there were no injuries. The cause of the fire is still under investigation.
A single rider line has been tested on Space Mountain on and off for the last month or so, and it appears that it is a permanent option. To utilize the new single rider line, head to the attraction exit. This can reduce wait time if you and your party don't mind not sitting together. I know, Teresa, what did you think about this?
I'm not a fan of the single rider line because one of the things that I do like a lot about going to a Disney park is it always seems like it's just you and the party that you're with get to experience the ride together. You're not really thrown in with strangers. So I think that's a unique thing to Disney parks that I like. So I don't know. I'm not a fan of the single rider. I get that they're getting more people on the ride with. I mean, I understand the pros of it, but
I like the single rider line if I want to do something and nobody else in my party wants to do it and I just want to do it quick.
Yeah, that's true.
Plus, it's nice because then it fills up those onesie twos. I mean, it totally fills the capacity of the attraction.
So. Right. No. So like I said, I get why it's there. I don't know. Yeah. I think it's sometimes it's just awkward to be right next to, you know, be with somebody that you don't know.
But if you're in a party of three and there's another party of three, you end up getting, if you're not sitting with one of your two people, you end up getting stuck next to someone.
Oh, I've never had that. I've just sat by myself.
Yeah. Usually it's like little kids and I don't mind.
Oh, sure.
Then usually they are handling the things a lot better than I am.
I'm not even a fan of like sitting next to a stranger on an airplane though, so maybe I'm just kind of weird. It's fine.
You just put your backpack there and you're like, I'm sorry, this is taken.
I need this space.
Yes.
This weekend, we saw reports online that traffic around the Disneyland Resort was over an hour long as the line stretched from the off-ramp on northbound I-5, down Harbor, then down Ball, to Disneyland Drive and the Mickey and Friends parking structure. Once parked, there were reports of limited security personnel at the security checkpoints, causing an even further delay.
Yeah, I just saw a video on YouTube, I think yesterday, from Fresh Baked Disney, and the guy, like, he's been a couple days removed from it, but, like, I thought he was going to have a mental breakdown in this video.
Oh, no.
Because he was talking about how he showed up at a little after 8, the park wasn't supposed to open until 9, and they had 8. They had 8 lanes of traffic open to allow you to show your pass or whatever,
sure,
and get a parking spot. And then right after the booths, it went down to 1 lane.
Oh.
So first of all, he was mad that they didn't have 10 lanes open because they should have had 10 lanes. But then making it go down to 1 lane caused an even bigger backup because you're taking 8 people. So then he got parked and then he walked out to the Mickey and Friends area and there's like, you know, a dozen or so security checkpoints and they had 2 security checkpoint lines open.
I wonder what the reasoning was for that.
The park didn't open until 9, and he was thinking that they were just trying to save a few bucks, was his idea for it. I'm not sure what happened. I think that Disney definitely needs to, especially in the morning when you know it's going to be busy. I know it's hard to schedule. I've thought about this a lot where, you know, if you're really, really busy right when the park opens, you're not going to have, even for a part-time employee, you're at least going to have them there, let's say, 4 hours. Well,
sure.
Your morning rush maybe lasts 2 to 3 hours. So it's like, then what are you doing with that other payroll hour? with that person. Like, there's only so much they can do, I guess. I don't know. Hmm. I think Disney makes enough money. They can afford somebody there. And with the security checkpoints, I think that I've always been irritated by that because I feel like security just takes forever. But
well, and that's anywhere you go, the airport, anywhere. Yeah. It just always takes so long. I mean, it's
the price of safety, but...
Yep, I get it.
Yeah, I suppose. Speaking of large crowds at the Disneyland Resort, if you have an annual passport that is not a Signature Plus or Premier Level Pass, be aware that starting Monday, December 18th, you will enter a blackout period that will last into 2018. Prior to this blackout, the parks will be busier than usual due to folks getting in their last taste of the holidays.
The Disney California Adventure Food and Wine Festival is being expanded to 6 weeks this spring, running from March 2nd to April 12th. With this extended schedule, there will be constant festivals happening at the resort. Lunar New Year will cover January 26th through February 18th, then the Food and Wine Festival, then Pixar Fest starts April 13th and will most likely run all summer, followed by Halloween time and Festival of the Holidays.
Sounds like... they're trying to get everybody there that they can, and then a year or two from now when Star Wars Land opens, they are going to go, oops. Well, as we discussed 2 weeks ago, the candy canes are popular at the Disneyland Resort. One of the master candy makers at Disneyland's Candy Palace, Rob McHarg, passed away recently. He worked making candy on Main Street for over 40 years. Rob was responsible for training a lot of the newcomers on how to make the candy canes. Many of the recipes at the Candy Palace were developed by Rob. If you look up making holiday candy canes on Disneyland's YouTube channel, you can see Rob talking about making the holiday confections. Well, this week our discussion topic is going to be a bunch of different topics, and I think the first thing we're going to talk about is something we've talked quite a bit about here recently. Let's start with something we already have talked about very specifically. The Oogie Boogie popcorn buckets are back in stock, and nobody is trying to buy them.
It's interesting. There was such a craze for them, and now it's just like everyone's forgotten, and they don't care anymore.
Well, so they've moved on. Interesting.
They've moved on,
which we're going to discuss in a minute. But yes, if you need an Oogie Boogie hot popcorn bucket, they are available.
You do not need to buy them on eBay. They are still in the parks.
But what is the new hotness, Teresa?
It is an AT-AT popcorn bucket, or an AT-AT as some people refer to it. But
the all-terrain armored transport popcorn bucket?
It is really neat looking, actually. I like it. If I was close by, I would totally go get one.
You're not
going to
buy
parks.
One on eBay?
No. That just takes all the fun out of it for me. It's actually going and like having the experience of getting it.
And
however,
carrying it around the park all day.
Yeah, now that I just said that, I don't know if I'd want to carry it around the park.
So you got to get a locker or a backpack.
Even so, what if I crush it?
Maybe you buy it at the end of the night.
That would be it. I'd buy it at the end of the night.
But don't
then
do
I
like
couldn't refill it throughout the day.
But well, don't anyways. Do like I did.
What did you do?
So last time we went, they had this Fantasmic, this Mickey Fantasmic cup that like was really cool.
And we know how much you like Fantasmic.
And I really wanted this cup. And as we were leaving the park, literally two steps from exiting the park at closing time, on the last day we were there, I said, oh, crap, I forgot to buy that. So we go back into the park, and all of the carts are done for the night.
Oh.
So I go into the Emporium. The Emporium doesn't sell me, so that's only an outdoor vending item. So I go to City Hall. I'm like, if anybody can help me, City Hall can help me. So I wait in line. I patiently get up there. I end up spending about 20 minutes talking to a guy at City Hall who's trying to understand what it is, what the product is that I want.
Sure, yeah.
They went in the back and found what the product's called. It's only sold through outdoor vending. Unfortunately, all the outdoor vending had been whatever for the day put away.
No.
There was no way they could do it. If I came back the next morning, I could have bought one, but like we had an early flight. Because I was like, I don't have a ticket for tomorrow. He said, you could go to the newsstand, which half the newsstand is out.
Sure, yeah.
And you could ask them, and somebody would go get one.
Wow, that's amazing.
And I was like, well, crabby, of course I would do that. But we had an early flight.
Yeah.
And now I don't think they sell them anymore, and I'm sad because I will never have that.
eBay. I bet you can find them online.
I should probably look that up on eBay.
That's really awesome that they were going to they were going to be that accommodating. That's really cool.
Well, they want to make money, you know how that
well,
is.
I know, but still, that's going pretty far out of their way for just really nothing. You know, it's just a few dollars for them. It's not that big of a deal. That's really cool.
I'm looking
though.
It up on eBay now. Here it is.
The cup.
Rare Disneyland 60th anniversary Fantasmic Chernabog Light Up Sip Cup.
Chernabog.
Yeah.
Sounds fancy.
Yeah, it's cool looking. Look at that.
That glows. Is neat.
Yeah.
You're going to have to put a picture up now.
It's two colors, though. See, it's blue and red.
Very cool.
Ooh, $78.
Oh, $78.
One of these things.
Well, it's so, cheaper than a plane ticket back out there.
So, $19.99 plus $8 shipping. That's not too bad, I guess.
Christmas present.
Oh, Disney Fantasmic Chernabog Light Up Cup, new great Christmas gift idea.
I told you, yeah, there you go.
$29.99, fast and free shipping. Get it by Saturday, December 16th. I think I might be buying one of these after the podcast. You have no idea.
You're going to wait after the podcast? I'm pretty sure it's going to happen during.
No, not today. So the other thing that we're going to talk about is, of course, this week is the highly anticipated Star Wars, The Last Jedi movie. So we're going to talk a little bit about Star Wars and Disneyland.
Tag and I already have our tickets to the movie.
Yes.
What's that? 2 days.
I'm very excited for Thursday night. We have tickets for a Thursday night show. And then I have tickets again on Tuesday. Now, how do you feel about spoilers?
You know, I don't know. Both ways. I'm kind of on the fence with spoilers because there are some movies that I've watched the previews of and I get so excited and I think the movie's going to be awesome. And then I go to the movie and realize that the preview is all of the best parts of the film.
Right.
So,
but I mean, spoilers in general, like looking online for like what happened.
Oh, no, I don't try and find them. No.
So,
I like kind of going into it not knowing what to expect, because if I have expectations, then I usually am not as excited with the movie afterwards.
Right. Right. For something, for me, especially when something's, when I'm anticipating something, I'm terrible. My mom will attest that I ruin surprises.
But you're just not patient.
That I am the person that, like, at Christmas time, like, I would go find the gifts. I would, like, if they were wrapped in the tree, I'd, like, peel the tape back and, like, see what it is. Like, I was that guy. This Christmas, like, I was lazy and didn't want to wrap anything and impatient. So every time when we went Christmas shopping, I said, can we just give each other the stuff now? And so as we bought it, we just gave it back and forth. So we've already given and gotten all of our Christmas presents so far.
I'm sure your family loves you for that.
Our pasta maker came tonight. My mom bought us the pasta maker attachment for our KitchenAid.
Yeah.
So tomorrow night, we're making pasta.
There you go. We are not talking about Disneyland at all.
I know. I'm sorry, guys. But, you know, you guys like when we get off track
pasta.
Sometimes. Pasta. Again, this is kind of, you know, this is definitely off track from Disneyland because this isn't even a Disney property. But speaking of spoilers real quick. So I watched the trailer for Jurassic World that came out this week. Mm-hmm. And there was a scene in there that made me very angry because I was like, that would have been really shocking in the movie.
Oh.
And now it's in the trailer. So I was a little upset about that. But the director has said that everything that's in that trailer is only in the first hour of the movie. Like, there's no scenes from further past the first hour. So I was like, okay.
Fine.
But then I start thinking other stuff, but this isn't a Jurassic Park or Jurassic World podcast, so we will leave that alone. But today I broke, and I Googled, because today I saw online that today the embargo was lifted, so reviews could come out.
Okay.
So nobody in the reviews is spoiling anything, which is good, and most of the reviews have been pretty good. But because people could talk about the movie then and not get sued into oblivion by Disney, I went online and looked up spoilers. So I have, like, some big spoilers I know are coming.
Keep them to yourself.
I don't know how all these things go down necessarily, so I'm interested to see, like, how these things go down.
You have the pieces of the puzzle, but you don't know the photo?
I am shocked, though, at a couple things. But you know what, though? For me, spoilers, I'm even more excited to see it now.
Well, that's good. Keep them to yourself.
Yeah. It's going to be a great movie, I can tell you right now. People have said that... I don't think anybody will ever think that any Star Wars is better than Empire Strikes Back. They said that, like, this is, like, second place to Empire Strikes Back. Like,
wow.
It's the best Star Wars movie. So we'll see how it goes. Star Wars Land, still a little whiles out. Out in Disney World.
I did see, though, that they are pretty much both of the big...
attractions?
Yeah, the show buildings. It looks like both of those are pretty much all enclosed now, and it looks like the mountains.
The rockwork, yep.
Mm-hmm, the rockwork looks like they are finishing up
progress.
The structures on that and actually putting some of the facade on it, too. So
that'll be really
coming
nice.
Along.
It's coming along. Before you know it.
Have we heard, I'm sure I've heard, but do we know what the two attractions, what the two main attractions are going to be in Star Wars Land.
Yeah, so one is...
is there one with the Millennium Falcon?
One's the Millennium Falcon, where mm-hmm. like you're with a group of people and you fly in the Millennium Falcon. It's like a, I think it's like simulator-based. And they say, based on how you do in that attraction, is mm-hmm. how the characters in the land will react to you. I don't know how that works.
Interesting.
But how you do on that shapes your experience in the land. I don't know how they're going to do it.
Wow.
But yeah. I'm interested to see. The other one is the Battle Escape attraction, which is based off the new movies. And it's supposed to be you in the First Order or whatever, and it's a trackless ride system that goes through. And it's that huge show building. And I think it's going to be multiple levels.
It looks huge. Yeah, it looks massive.
Well, they showed one section that people thought was going to be projection screens, but then if they look at the concept drawing, so one of the scenes, you're in one of the, you're in this vehicle, and you go through what is a hangar bay, and from ground level to the top of this building is the set for this hangar bay. Because the hangar bay is huge in the movies. Yeah. So you're going to be in this hangar bay for part of the attraction. So it's going to be pretty exciting.
Oh, I'm really excited.
Yeah, me too. Although...
I'm looking forward to it.
Look at how long the lines have been for Pandora and imagine how many people like Star Wars. So you're going to have
it's going to be at both parks. At least you're going to have a Galaxy's Edge in Florida and in California. So, hopefully maybe the crowds won't be as bad, whereas Avatar is just in Florida.
How long would you wait in line for one of these? Like, what
I'm
is the max?
I'm not a patient person when it comes to standing in line.
What is the max?
What's the wait max time that I'd wait? 2 hours.
2 hours?
Mm-hmm. 2 hours, I think. Because I'm just too anxious. I don't get, you know, I like the parks too much to just stand and wait
in
lines.
Even if there's a lot of theming?
That's why 2 hours. If there wasn't good theming, then it'd only be like
45 minutes. If you were like at Six Flags, you'd be like 15 minutes.
I hate going to Six Flags because I don't. It's just so boring standing in the lines there. But probably 2 hours.
I'd say about two and a half hours. Yeah, if you can watch a whole Star Wars movie in the time it takes for you to get from the beginning to the end.
Maybe when they first are opening up the new land, they should be just playing the films on the loop in the ride queues, so you have something to do.
But that takes you out of the immersion, don't you understand? No,
well, okay, then they better have really cool interactive.
So rumor has it, queues. And I don't like this idea, but rumor has it that they're going to have soft opening for the land. So like the land will be open for some people to go.
How do
into.
We get in?
Well, I think it's going to be a separate ticketed thing.
Sure, so more money.
Yeah. So I think it's going to be one of those things where it's like, you want to be one of the first people to see this land? You want to see it when you don't have to wait 3 hours in line?
That'd be $100. Amazing.
$100.
Worth it. You know how many people are going to do that? There's going to be so many. Nobody's going to blink at that. Come on. Some diehard fans, not going to blink at that.
No, I would say all diehard fans are not going to blink at that. So I don't know. For me, I don't know. It's hard. I guess if I live there, maybe, and depends on how much, what I had for financial situation.
Yeah.
If I was poor like I am now, no.
Well, and annual pass holders, I mean, you've already, you paid your price of admission how long ago, so why not pay an extra whatever it'll be?
If I was 6 months into a year annual pass, mm-hmm. okay.
I would.
That's a good argument. Wow. You've convinced me. Well, that's a good question for you guys. Respond to us on Facebook or Twitter. How do you feel about an extra fee to get into Star Wars Land early, to Galaxy's Edge early, so you won't have to deal with the crowds? Do you think it's a good idea, bad idea? See, the thing that people don't like about this, though, is, again, it's more of that segregating people. You know what I mean? Like, sure. Like it's only for the super rich people.
Right,
and that's not how Walt wanted everything. Mm-hmm. So...
Well,
but Walt also didn't want you to
wait
hours and hours for an attraction.
Right. You know, and really, would Walt approve of the fast passes? Because I feel like that's kind of, as we've talked before, I feel like that's kind of hindering the line issue. I think that's making the lines and the wait times worse and longer.
Well, Laura messaged me today and said for a topic that she wanted us to talk about fast passes and whether we... thought that Fast Passes was something I can't find the message now.
It was on Facebook.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Whether Fast Pass was you looked at it.
Whether Fast Pass was
something that we liked or disliked, or what attractions we think it would be good for. I think we've traveled over this before.
I don't like Fast Passes. I think it creates a cluster and it makes everyone have to wait longer, including the people with the Fast Pass.
I will say if I have FastPass and it's working in my favor, I like it.
Well, right, yeah.
But most of the time it's not working in my favor, so I don't like it.
Yeah.
And I think it makes the line problem worse. I think lines would be manageable if FastPass wasn't there at all.
I agree. Totally agree with that.
Now, I think they could still sell, if they still want to make money and have an upsell, I still think they could sell for $5 a person a day. They could sell unlimited photo pass like they do as an add-on with it.
Yeah.
Like, I think that, you know, if they want to make money, that's a way to make money.
Well, and it's interesting to me because can't you hand your camera over to the photographers?
You can. You can. See, but you don't get like the made with magic photos.
Oh, okay.
So they have the ones like where they have you hold out your hand and Tinkerbell shows up in it and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And sometimes their cameras are just better than yours. Like if you bring your cell phone, like their DSLR is going to be better than your cell phone.
Yeah, okay.
So I don't know. I like their photos. We paid for it when we went to Disney World. I liked it. Well, you know why they created FastPass originally, right? It was in the Paul Pressler era, which he came from retail. And that's when a lot of stores were everywhere instead of just attractions. So that's why, like, most attractions now, when you go to leave, like, there's a gift shop that you go through. Mm-hmm. Well, FastPass was made because they're like, hey, if we get people out of these lines, they'll go shopping or they'll go eat. And that all makes money.
It's interesting to me because I feel like the FastPass in concept makes a lot of sense, but in practice, it just doesn't work.
Well, the thing is, the idea is that the FastPass holds your place in line. So it's like a virtual you in that line. That's what that ticket kind of represents.
Do you think they're giving out too many fast passes an hour?
Yeah, that's definitely one thing. But the other thing is, if you take those people out of the queues, where are they? And then you get the problem with you've got the actual standby line, which people will get into because it doesn't look too bad, but they don't realize that it could be 50 people long, so it doesn't look too bad. But maybe that 50 people long takes you half an hour to get through because you're letting in
50 other FastPass people or whatever.
You're letting in 200 FastPass people to your 50 standby people. That's how it was in Disney World.
I'm not a fan. I don't get it. The only time that I kind of am okay with it is when rides first open and it's like new. I don't know. Maybe that's
the worst time to have it, though.
Probably is.
One thing that FastPass works for me, I think, is I think that it's really cut down on the Fantasmic camping out problem because you have to get a FastPass.
That's true.
For
no, I do like FastPasses for both of the nighttime shows for World of Color too, because that makes more sense.
Or the shows, and like when Aladdin was there, they did FastPass for that and Frozen.
Because still you have people standing in line forever because they're trying to get a good spot. So, and again, I wish I could just live in the Disney park. Anytime that I'm there, I don't want to be standing and waiting for something. So whether it's a really long line for an attraction or I really want a good spot for World of Color, it's very frustrating to me to have to just waste. I'm wasting time. I'd rather be doing something.
If you went there more often, would you mind standing in line more or less?
I'd probably like it more because then I'd have more time to actually enjoy the theming. I don't know.
I was thinking about it.
I mean, like we've discussed before, all the times that I've been in the parks, I'm there for a very short, they're always quick trips.
Yep.
So I'm usually there for give or take 3 days. So I try and pack in as much as I possibly can in the 3 days. Hence why I don't like standing around waiting for things.
Right.
So, if I was there, like I said, if I could live there, of course I wouldn't care if I was waiting because I have unlimited time.
But if you lived there and you went on these, if you went on these attractions multiple times, is it worth it? Like the reason that I go stand in a line now is because I go once every few years now.
Yeah.
So I stand in line because I'm like, well, this is the one time in 3 years I get to go see this attraction, so I don't care how long the line is.
Oh no, I'm still good with staying. You know, I'll still wait in the lines because I want to be on the attractions. But
yeah, but if you live there,
it's still a little.
You wouldn't, is what I'm arguing.
Oh right, no, I would totally no. I would only right now. I try and only visit the parks in the down times because I don't like having to deal with crowds if I don't have to, because you don't get to do as much stuff when
everybody else is there. It's
becoming a problem. Yeah.
Well, not only becoming a problem, but the off season is going away.
It's kind of not a thing anymore. Right. Yep.
So why don't you read what our friend sent us?
Jerry Garcia at Jerry the Hood on Twitter writes, at Rope Drop, do you go to the right, left, or straight through to the castle? Curious as how you two tackle the park. Well, as we've kind of said before, Tag and I actually have not enjoyed the park together. We've only gone separately, which hopefully that will be changing in the near future.
But, she wants April.
Yes, I'm voting for April because I really want to go for the food and wine festival / the opening of the Pixar weekend, because I think that would be amazing. But anyways, we can talk about that later.
Patrons, please help us.
So when I'm in the park, this is interesting. I always go to the left. I don't know why, but I always go through Adventureland first, which Tag does the same thing. Yep. So great minds apparently think alike here. Mm-hmm. I guess I've never really thought about why I always go to Adventureland first, and my first ride will either be the Jungle Cruise. Usually, though, I want to go on Indiana Jones first, but if the line's terrible, then I'll do Jungle Cruise first. So it kind of just depends. But I don't know why I've always done it that way. I think that's my favorite side of the park, is going into Adventureland and then over to New Orleans Square. I really enjoy Pirates and the Haunted Mansion are probably my top two. God, I don't know. It's hard to rate the rides. But I really enjoy those two rides. I try and go on them multiple times if I can. So I think that's why I go that direction first. I do enjoy Fantasyland and Tomorrowland. Fantasyland and Tomorrowland, I guess, are kind of... I still enjoy them, but they're just not my favorite. So if I have to skip something in the park...
Well, first of all, the reason I go into Adventureland first is the very first ride I always go on and the very last ride I always go on... Indiana Jones. Mm-hmm. It's just my tradition.
How did that tradition start?
Or why I just love Indiana Jones. Like, if I can get on it. Well, because usually what happens is the line for Indiana Jones is usually shortest in the morning and shortest in the evening. So it kind of works out that it's my favorite attraction. So I go in the morning when the line's short, and I go in the evening when the line is short. So
well,
it kind of works out.
All of the lines short in the morning?
Yeah. But I like that attraction the best. It's like my favorite attraction. So that's why.
So I guess I should edit my comment, because the first morning I'm there, it's always going to the left, always going to Indiana Jones first. And if Indiana Jones for some reason is backed up, then it's the Jungle Cruise. Mm-hmm. But on my second morning there, I always go to the right. I always hit Space Mountain first.
Interesting.
I just try and beat the rush. I just try and beat the lines.
You know, now that you think
so,
about
it. If you're there for if you're there for 4 or 5 days,
right.
Do you always go to
no,
the left?
No. Just
the first, okay, your first
yeah.
day in.
So I guess when I say the first attraction I go on and the last attraction I go on is the first attraction I go on per trip,
gotcha.
Indiana Jones.
The first and last.
The last
per
attraction
trip.
Per trip, Indiana Jones. And then... other days, I think it just depends on how much did I get through the day before and like yeah. where I'm kind of at, and if there's something that we're trying to accomplish. So usually one of the days, usually whenever we get there the earliest, like opening, we'll try to hit up Fantasyland and hit up like
the dark
Peter
rides.
Pan.
Yeah.
Because Peter Pan always has a line.
I was just going to say that too, because yeah, if depending on how it lays out, I'll try and run back to the dark rides.
But that's where a lot of people
run. Right away in the
run.
Morning, too. Mm-hmm.
I noticed the last time I was there, it splinters into three places, and it's this exact same three attractions that everybody thinks of. If they go to Tomorrowland, they're going
Space
to Space Mountain.
Mountain. Mm-hmm.
If they go to Fantasyland, they're going to Peter Pan. And if they're going to New Orleans Square Adventureland area, they're going to Indiana Jones. What happens sometimes, though, is Indiana Jones, I think the last time we were there, like our second or third day, we got there at opening. Rope drop happened. We shot over to Indiana Jones, and Indiana Jones wasn't open yet because they were having mechanical issues or something.
Sure.
So then we hopped over to Pirates. But depending on when you go and what time of day, Pirates sometimes is...
It fluctuates.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen some pictures online of lines stretching out all the way to the river and like it being a chaos and long time. But a lot of times, like at night, like I like when Fantasmic plays, because usually I'll catch Fantasmic once, maybe twice in a trip. Max.
Oh, I'd watch it every night if I could.
And then the other nights when it's playing, we hit up all the West Side or the East.
Are you talking about like
the
Splash
West
Mountain?
Side stuff? Yeah, so we hit up Splash. We hit up Haunted Mansion. We hit up, because during Fantasmic, there's like no lines
no.
for any
well,
of
Well, of course, yeah, because they're all staring. You know, they're all watching the show.
Right.
Actually, was it the last time I was? Anyways, one of the first times that I went with Vern, he had not seen Fantasmic, nor had I seen the new dragon. For the Fantasmic show, and we, For some reason, I don't remember why, but we decided to catch the later show instead of the earlier one.
Yeah.
And so we were hitting up the rides.
Yeah.
We went on Splash Mountain. I remember yelling back at him because we were the only two people on the ride. So we kept, I think we rode it like three times in a row.
Right.
But
sometimes it'll be nice. I kept telling him,
don't look because it would have ruined the surprise. Yeah, yeah. The dragon was out and all that. So I was like, don't look. So he's going down the log plume with his eyes closed. That probably was really.
I was
maybe that was a little extra thrilling for him.
I always try
it was
to,
dark, which it was weird. I don't know if I like going on Splash Mountain at nighttime. It's really dark in there. Well, no,
you mean the outside section?
The whole thing just seems more dark.
Well, the insides are always going to be the same whether it's day or night.
I know, but it's just
the outside's
dark. I like doing it in the day when it a perfect day for me for Splash Mountain is just when the sun's shining. It doesn't have to be a warm day. I don't care about that part. It just has to be a nice, bright, sunshiny day. It just fits with the theming of the ride, I think.
The perfect Disneyland day for me is night.
Yeah, the going on the rides at night, though?
Everything at night.
Even Splash Mountain.
Everything at night.
I've never Matterhorn done Big Thunder Railroad
at night. At night?
No.
What? That's when it's the best.
It is?
Yeah, because you can't see kind of where it's going. Mm. Okay, so here's another question. So just like Jerry Garcia asks, but I'm going to ask you a slightly different version. When you go on Big Thunder, where do you sit? Do you sit in the front? Do you sit in the back? Do you sit in the middle of the train?
Well, I go wherever they tell me to go.
You can ask.
I know, but I just feel bad doing that.
The worst experience is the front.
I've done it all. I've done the front.
The back
I've done
is the best.
Back. I've done the middle.
The back is best.
And I'm trying to think what I like the best.
Because the front, you go over the hills.
Oh, yeah.
And the back of the
slower.
Train. So you're like, really?
Yeah.
But if you're in the back, you get like whipped around. And it's, I don't know. I like the back. But you can't see the track and stuff at night when you go. And so it's kind of like...
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that would be fun.
Plus, you know what else is pretty... Okay, so you know what else is really cool at night, but only for like half of it? Although now it might be different depending on how they have it lit. Is the Mark Twain at night when Fantasmic doesn't run? You can get on that at night.
Hmm.
And New Orleans Square and everything is, it's beautiful.
I'm sure that's gorgeous, yeah.
And you get back by Hungry Bear, and then it kind of gets dark. But now I'm wondering with the train and stuff there if they have lighting and stuff that makes that a little more interesting. And then with Galaxy's Edge there, I wonder if they're going to light up the top of the rock formations
like they do out in
Cars Land.
I'm sure.
It's going to be interesting. See how that all comes together. Well, I think we've talked about a lot of topics.
So I'm curious, though. I would like our listeners to tell us which way they go at Rope Drop. Do you guys go to the left, the right, or do you go forward? And we're gonna specify it down. We're going to say your first day in the park. Which way do you go?
In fact, if you give me a minute, I'm going to make a... Right now, I'm going to make a... I've never done this, but I'm going to do it on Twitter. I'm going to make a poll. Because you can make a poll and people
can vote. They tell us why?
They can respond, but I just want to see if
people
will vote.
Because I want to know, the left, right, forward is interesting, but I also want to know the reason. Like, we go to the left because we want to go see Mr. Indiana Jones first and ride his awesome attraction.
Mm-hmm.
So, do people like going to Space Mountain first? The Matterhorn, that poor Matterhorn, nobody runs over to the Matterhorn. That's a pretty amazing ride.
I think a lot of people do. It's just we're never over there.
That could be. Very well could be. And I guess, what's your thoughts on the best times of day to go to certain attraction? Obviously, it does depend on the day and it depends on the crowds in the park. But I seem to find good luck with going over to the dark rides in the afternoons. It seems like, it's died down over there. So you don't have the crazy lines over at the dark rides. So I hit up Fantasyland in the afternoon.
The best time to go for Fantasyland attractions is at night because all the kids are asleep. So right before park close, the last half hour, 45 minutes.
I must hit it up when it's nap time for the kids then.
Yeah, midday is not too bad because people go for lunch and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm going to make this poll length. I'm going to make it 6 days. So it's going to take us to next. So we record this on Tuesday. So it's going to make it till next Sunday, I think, is what it's going to do. So I'm going to put this out right now. So in 6 hours. So on your first day at Disneyland, where do you head? Adventureland, Fantasyland, Tomorrowland.
And why? What is your first attraction? Or maybe some people head certain directions because they want to hit up certain restaurants right away in the morning. What's your reasoning for your choice?
See, that's true, because I go to, well, usually, oh, that's, see, that's another thing that I used to do all the time, is you come in, one thing I try to get once per visit is I love the watermelon on the fruit cart on Main Street. Mm-hmm. It's like one of those things I get at some point.
Sure.
And usually I do it kind of in the morning, but, so my number one choice used to be Riverbell Terrace for breakfast, but now they've moved it to Rancho Zocalo, so I don't know if it's going to be the same.
Sure.
Breakfast potatoes, like the best thing in the world. The other one is the Carnation Cafe is pretty good on Main Street if you want to kind of have the atmosphere of Main Street, you know, and they've got like some good sandwiches and stuff. I don't think I've ever eaten breakfast anywhere else. We ate like a late breakfast, early lunch at Red Rockets Pizza Port. When our family friend of ours had to have stupid beignet. I don't even want to get into it.
What? Beignets?
Yes.
Did I tell you that story? Okay, yeah. You guys were at Red Rocket Pizza. And
then he's like, well, I want
beignets. Decided that they wanted beignets instead, so he had to go all the way to the other side of the park.
Yeah, because he didn't want to wait. Mm-hmm. And we were already at Red Rocket's Pizza Port before we purchased anything, and he wanted us to go. So we went with him because he was going to throw a hissy fit. We went all the way to the other side of the park. He's like, you guys don't want anything? And we're like, no, we kind of are in the mood for pizza and pasta now.
Right.
So we had to wait for him to slowly eat his beignets, and he's a very slow eater. And then we walked all the way back over to the pizza port. I would have drowned him in the lagoon if I could have. I would have. I tell you.
Dang, that's not very family friendly.
I know. Well, before we wrap up this week, we'd like to ask each of you to support the show just by telling one other person about it or even posting something about the show on your social media pages. Jerry Garcia at Jerry the Hutt on Twitter again said that he shared the episode with some friends and even gave us a shout-out on his podcast, What Did the Brit Say to the Indian? So he thinks
that sounds like a pretty cool podcast here. I'm going to have to listen to that.
I am going to have to listen to that. I'm just curious what it's about. I guess we'll find out.
Thank you, Jerry.
Yes, thank you, Jerry. I know that during the holidays, being able to support a podcast by becoming a patron can be challenging, so sharing the show is a great alternative. If you do want to support the show financially, you can do so by going to DisneylandWeekly.com/support.
That is all we have for you this week. You can help the show by leaving a review on iTunes, as that really helps get our podcast out there. If you want to keep up with the show, you can follow us on Facebook by searching for Disneyland Weekly, on Twitter at DL Weekly, or sending us an email at feedback@DisneylandWeekly.com.
On Twitter at DL Weekly, do not forget to go and respond to the poll question that will be out there probably until Sunday. So we'll be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
So until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
And do the survey.
Ladies and gentlemen, Disneyland has now ended its normal operating day. We hope you've enjoyed your visit to the Magic Kingdom and that you'll be back with us again soon.